Welcome back to the Real Estate Rockstars podcast. Here is what to expect to learn in today's show. How to understand houses as a new agent so you know what you're talking about during showings. I'm talking terminology, things to highlight, floor plans, etc. How to market some of the most beautiful homes in the MLS, even if you're not listing a single one of them. How to make your home tours go viral with just your iPhone. And stick around to the end if you want to learn how to use polls to transform views into actual clients. Today's guest is Isaac Lightborn out of El Paso, Texas. He has been in the industry almost 3 years and he just turned 22 years old. Isaac has closed 73 transactions and has 14 pending right now as a solo agent with just a TC as leverage. He's out there running those streets. And you know, funny thing, I didn't realize I knew Isaac until we literally hopped on for the show. And I was like, dude, I know you. He was one of the panelists I saw at the Tom Ferry Summit this past year in 2023, the next generation of super young agents, basically, as panelists up there who were crushing it. And Isaac said something totally savage that just made my jaw drop at the time and stuck with me so much that when he popped on, I was like, dude, you are that kid. And so stick around to the end if you want to hear what I'm talking about. I asked him to retell the story right before we wrapped up. And speaking of conferences, y'all, the 2024 Real Estate Rockstars Mastermind was the best thing ever. I made friendship bracelets. I gave them out to everyone who wanted them. We did yoga before the event, food trucks, and like open air nightlife after the event. And also a bunch of us saw Joe Rogan. It was so fun. So if you want to hang out with us next year, you need to lock in your slot now since we do sell out. So go to the show notes for the link to get your slot or shoot me a DM on Instagram at The Shelby Show for more info. And with that, rock stars, welcome Isaac Lightborn. Isaac, how are you generating leads in your business?
So in the past, when I first started, what I did was I went and sat with a builder, because in my market in El Paso, we have a ton of builders, like 20 plus builders. I went and mastered that builder. I knew it like the back of my hand, and that's how I generated leads. At the same time, I had my YouTube channel in the background, and I would post a video every single week, and I wouldn't get anything out of it, but I would keep posting, and eventually I got a couple leads out of YouTube here and there. And in 2022, it was like open house leads and YouTube leads. And then I started posting on Instagram. I can't even remember when I started posting on Instagram, but I started posting on Instagram and I got leads from there. And right now, currently, my main lead source is Instagram. Believe it or not, I've been posting on YouTube way longer, like probably over 2 years. And I haven't closed that many off of YouTube. I know people that do. Sometimes you just have it or you don't, but I'm a big believer in put yourself in front of the most opportunities as possible. But Instagram is my thing. Like I just came back from showing a house off of Instagram that called me yesterday.
Okay. And before we dive into Instagram, which we will, I want to ask real quick, because you mentioned out the gate, you sat with a builder and you got leads off of that. Can you elaborate like on how specifically the leads were generated with that builder?
Oh, okay. So I would sit on a schedule, right? So I went to this brokerage that represented a builder called Palo Verde Homes in El Paso, Texas. And I would sit there whenever they would schedule me. It was like a regular job. I would sit at that model home and wait for people to come in. Open house signs. The builder would market it. My brokerage would market it. And I kind of be like waiting there, hoping, please, please somebody come in. And when they would come in, honestly, it was GG's. Like, they were going to get converted by me because I knew that builder like the back of my hand. I knew every builder in the area like the back of my hand. So everything that they were about to see, I already brought it up to them. They were going to be impressed by me. And I would like to say that I have some sort of charisma to where I can relate to people. So yeah, they would just be walk-ins. And from there, okay, I would show them some of their houses and they'd become my client eventually.
No, that totally makes sense. One more question on the builder stuff. You mentioned that you knew every build, you know, like the back of your hand. I think that is so freaking cool and probably undervalued. I think a lot of agents in the beginning are like, I'm just going to sit in an open house, or maybe I have the opportunity to sit in a model home. But like, it sounds like you did the mass amount of legwork to be hyper curious and ask questions and figure out the answers to every possible thing a prospective buyer might ask. So you had that information, and then it turned you into the agent that allowed you to excel in what you're doing now on Instagram, which we'll talk about in a second. But my question is, how did you learn the every little bit of these builds? Like, what did you do to figure out all the details?
Well, you know what? First things first is that I truly believe there's a need in real estate, especially for home buyers, to have a realtor that's competent. It's a big need. So, and especially in new construction, a lot of realtors just sit, somebody comes in and they hope that they choose them, right? But I'm a big believer in, man, these people need my help. They need guidance on what builder is the best builder for them, what things they should know about the quality and this and that. So I sat down and I thought, and I was like, you know what? Every person that walks into my model home, I'm going to make sure that they found the best possible help. And what I would do is every week I would text all my builder reps, people that work directly for the builder or other realtors that sit, hey, send me your inventory sheet. I'd look at the inventory sheets. If I saw a new community, I'd go drive out there and I'd make sure I knew what the community was like, how to get there, where it was. And I would go inside of these model homes. Sometimes I would just walk in and be like, look, I don't have a buyer, but I want to bring you a buyer. Teach me about this builder. And I knew their standard features. I knew their price per square foot. I would ask people around in El Paso when I was new, I would ask experienced realtors, what's their experience with this builder? So when somebody said, you know, what's the quality of this builder like, I could speak on their reputation. So in short, I'd go visit their homes without a buyer. I'd gather their inventory sheets, drive their communities, and use my experienced realtors as resource.
Yeah. Seriously love that so much, especially since you are 22 years old. And I know that you got into real estate three years ago. So you were like 19, fresh baby face doing all this. Because I know there's this mindset of like, you did all of that work and you didn't get paid for it. It's not like you were probably working out, maybe you were, but it's not like you had this hourly pay. It's like you were investing in yourself and your knowledge for that future payout that you were just believed that would pay off eventually. And it feels like it did, because before we hopped on this call, of course, I was stalking you like I do every guest before we hop on the show. And you mentioned Instagram is your thing, and hot damn, you are doing really cool home tours. So can you talk about, you learned a lot from the builders, you had open houses, you know, I'm sure you got some reps in your YouTube channel, and then you pivoted to Instagram. So can you lead us through your strategy on Instagram?
Okay. So Instagram, and it's all about mindset, right? Like everything in my mind is about mindset. So I use Instagram to get to as most people as possible, because I truly believe I'm the best realtor for them. So I post a lot because I know, like, I need to find these people to get them away from the realtors that they shouldn't be with. And at the same time, I understand that home buyers don't care about you. They don't care about your mom. They don't care if your kids eat at night. They care about the house. That's all they care about. So why would I go post informational content? It just doesn't make sense to me. I'm going to post a house, and I'm going to post the houses that they want to see. Now, who is they? They is the audience that I want to target. So in El Paso, I personally like to help people in the price range of around like $300,000 to $600,000. I feel like that's my niche. So what I decided to do is I decided to post houses in that price range. And I really like new construction, so I'll post new construction too. I can't post all new construction just because it'll get boring and I still need the views. So sometimes, a good amount of times, I'll throw in some resales because I'm aware that I know there's certain homes that I just know will go viral. Whenever my Instagram's down, I'll go on the MLS and I'll find a home where I know like this home's going to go viral. Like I just recently posted a home in central El Paso. It's got a casita in the back. It's an old house from 1920s. That's not my target audience. As a matter of fact, an investor called me off it and I was like, oh no, please no. But I knew it would go viral. So I posted it. It got 50,000 views and it boosted my reach again. So now I can keep posting the homes that I want to post. And I do these home tours in a, in a walkthrough style. So I'll walk through the home and I'll get the most important aspect of it. The front of the house, the living room, the dining room, sometimes dining room, the kitchen, the main bedroom, main bathroom, and the backyard. And then I throw it in CapCut and I double the speed because people have a short attention span. TikTok, Instagram Reels, it's lowering our attention span. And like me personally, I talk fast. I wouldn't want to watch a slow video. So I do a lot of things based on what I like because I want to attract the audience that vibes with me. And then the video at most is like a minute long and I'm just walking through the home. Boom, 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 boom. And then I do a voiceover. And in all honesty, I personally don't like watching videos with voiceovers. But the content where you're just highlighting the nice parts of the house was starting to get saturated in my market. And my views were going down. So I was like, okay, I got to switch it up. What I have to do. And at the same time, I know that 90% of realtors out there aren't going to put their voice on a video because they don't like hearing their own voice. So it just makes it easier for me because there's less competition out there. And after posting those videos, right, where I do the walkthrough, I'll be like, what's up, El Paso, X, Y, and Z, blah, blah, blah. I realize that people really like them and they're actually pretty helpful for a lot of these home buyers. So at first it was a thing where I had to switch up my content and I had to like make the competition harder for other realtors. But now I really like posting those videos. I like putting my voice in there and it's helpful to people.
Okay. You mentioned whenever your Instagram is down, you like to go on the MLS and find a house that you know will do well, which led me to think, are all of the houses that you're doing home tours, like, are they your listings, any of them? Are they almost entirely other people's listings? And are you asking permission? Like, how does that work?
I barely list any homes, most of them are not mine. Like probably like 9.9 out of 10 of them aren't mine. So what I'll do is on Friday or Saturday, I'll reach out to the listing agents of the used homes that I want. And I'll tell them, I'll be like, hey man, I try to do a phone call because it's easier to convert over the phone and you give your charisma and all that. Hey man, I sold this listing and I would really love to record it, post it, mark you as the listing agent, maybe bring you a buyer, bring me some leads. Is that cool with you? Simple. No? Okay, bye, next. But yeah, I ask for permission. And then for the builders, it's a lot easier because I just need to ask for permission once. And then I know, okay, the listing agent's going to let me post these 20 floor plans that they have.
Okay, so you on Fridays or Saturdays, you're identifying your list of homes that you want to do these home tours for, and you're contacting the listing agents. How many are you doing a week? What does that process look from there? Now what?
So I identify them. I do 3 homes per week. And the reason I do 3 is because I started posting too much and my views were going down. Now let me clarify. If I was just starting my Instagram channel, I would do 7 per week. 7 per week, but I do 3 per week. So I identify these homes and then I schedule them for Monday. Monday is my day for social media. I'm not meeting with home buyers. I'm not taking listing appointments. Not having dinner. I'm not having lunch. I won't do anything. I will record videos. I will edit them. I will upload them and schedule them out. So I don't have to do anything else on another day. So on Mondays, I go out there. I record the houses. I do a video. And then I do raw pictures of the house. And you're thinking, oh, Isaac, just get the pictures from the MLS. They're already edited. They're way better quality. Your iPhone sucks. It's going to be crooked. Are you sure you want to post that? Yes, because I have a theory that people are desensitized to marketing. They're desensitized to marketing. So when I get my iPhone out there and I take raw pictures of the home and I post them on a carousel on Instagram, people see the pictures and they're like, oh, that's a real home. It's not just a fake Zillow home. I don't know if that makes sense. But yeah, I'll record it, do the pictures. It'll take me about maybe like, I don't know, for Instagram video and picture for each house, it takes like 15 minutes. So 15 minutes for each house. And then on one of the houses, I'll do a YouTube video on it. The YouTube video will take me like another 10 minutes. Then I go come back to my office, I edit all the videos, I upload them and schedule them on Instagram. I don't use an external app, I just use regular Instagram. I scheduled them out for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. A picture, carousel, post, video, carousel, post, video, carousel, post, video. And then I added my YouTube video, schedule it, and I don't think about social media except replying to leads for the rest of the week. Something that's important is that when I post pictures and video, I don't put the same house next to each other. So I won't put the same pictures of a house next to the same video, just so that my page doesn't look so like boring.
Got your process, your timeline for that. I would like to ask about the editing. So you mentioned CapCut. You mentioned already that you're going to do the tour in 2x speed and do the voiceover. What are you saying in the voiceover? Do you have like a structure for that?
You're not going to like my answer, but I sit in front of CapCut and I'm like, what do I want to say for this house? I'm pretty good at winging things. Like, honestly, like I came to this podcast episode and I was like, I'll say what comes to my mind based on the questions. Like, I didn't prepare at all. That's just the person that I am. So I'll sit in front of the video.
That's not entirely true. For people out there who are like, oh man, I hate those people who can just wing it, which by the way, that is me. Like, I'm not a winger. But Isaac did, he was one of the only people who asked like multiple questions and tried to get it on the podcast ahead of time to ensure the voice, the audio is high quality. So Isaac, you are a half prepper, a half winger.
That is true. On the things that I'm going to say on the Instagram videos, I don't prep for it. I just like whatever I feel. Sometimes I'll test some new things out. I'll talk about the house specifically sometimes, or if I feel like for example, new construction homes, if you're posting the same builder, your content starts to get repetitive and it's like, okay, like he's going to talk about the living room and the quartz countertops and all that. But sometimes I'll be like, okay, based on what I posted last time, how can I say something different to add value to these people? So if I just recently posted a video where it's like, what's up, El Paso? Today we're walking through an Icon custom home and this is a farmhouse style. So in this farmhouse style, you got the black accents. The next time I might be like, what's up, El Paso? Today we're walking through an Icon custom home. It is a farmhouse style, but hey, I want to let you guys know something. If you don't like something about this house, it's a fully custom builder. And then I'll start explaining the build process. So it kind of varies on what I'll say, but I really try to stray away from the whole like, this is a 3-bed, 2-bath, 1,500 square foot home, because like, and it's helpful. It is helpful, but I tend to put that information in my caption. Because I don't want to give too much information about the house. I want people to text me about it.
Have a reason to reach out for sure. And I think it's really cool that you're able to pull on those loops right back to the beginning to your experience that you gained when you were a builder. Because even listening to you right now, when you're like off the cuff mentioning, you know, the farmhouse style and X, Y, and Z, it's like having those terms front of mind to be able to capture. I think that that is where a lot of agents struggle too. They're like, man, I would do a voiceover, but I honestly don't even know what to say. So did you learn that just from listening to the builders and talking, you know, to the, I guess, builders, developers about their projects? Or did you like listen to a bunch of YouTube videos on people giving showing? Like, what did you do to learn that stuff?
I hate watching real estate content. I don't watch any real estate content. It's so boring. But I learned it by experience, you know, like going out there and pretending like I had a buyer and going into a model home. But then, of course, there's only so much that you can learn from asking questions, getting inventory sheets, and going into model homes. You can only study so much, for me personally. But eventually, if you're diving so deep into new construction, you're going to get a home buyer out of it. And when I would get that home buyer, and they were my only home buyer, I did so much research and we would go look at the home. We would drive the communities. And through that, like helping people actually buy new construction, that really made the information stick with me. So it was really by experience that I learned that.
Yeah, I love that answer too, just because I look back on my own experiences as well. And I think that a lot of agents want to wait until they have it all figured out before jumping into the fire, but the fire is where you learn best. And my hardest clients, the ones who asked questions about everything and wanted to know the details. That's where I learned the most, because then I did all of this research. And then for every client following, I was that much smarter. And so it's, you're right. It's those experiences that really grow you.
Yeah. I love those clients that make it hard for me, because, you know, in the moment I might not like it because I got to do extra work, but I love it because they're building on my toolbox so that I can put those questions into my next client that might not be asking those questions. Because at the end of the day, my clients matter the most to me. You know, I want them to be happy. I want them to love their home. I don't want them to have buyer's remorse. So whenever I learn something from a client, I'll pass it on to another client. I just learned, right? I don't cook. I'm keeping it real with you. I don't cook. I just learned that if you have the knobs on the stove, on top of the stove, they get really greasy. Then you have to take them off and clean them. And it's really hard. I didn't know that. So for my next home buyer that's building a custom home or a resale home, and they're not going the production route because all the production homes come with the knobs on the top, I'm going to say, hey, if you cook a lot, you should consider upgrading to the cooktop that has the knobs right here so that you don't have to clean them that much. So I love learning new things from you, from those difficult clients.
Yes. Okay. Before we move on from Instagram, you mentioned it briefly, but let's dig into what exactly are you putting in your captions?
In my captions. So I know I gave you a toolbox and I copy and pasted it, so they can just, whoever is listening can just copy and paste it. But in all honesty, my most important thing is my title is always El Paso Home Tour, because I'd like the views, right? I love the views. But if people that are living in Austin that are never going to move to El Paso are watching it, like I want them to know this is El Paso. So my main thing is El Paso Home Tour. Then right below that, it's DM me the word home or text me at 915-34, you know, I'll put my number to get started. So that call to action is first, and then El Paso is first, because that's the most important thing. And I get text messages, home, just home. And I'm like, how can I help you? And then after that, it's the details on the house, like 4 beds, 2 baths, square footage. Sometimes I put the price, sometimes I don't. It depends how I feel. I try not to always not put the price, because then eventually people will get annoyed, like, he never puts the price on his homes, because I get comments like that. I never put the address, because then they'll just go look it up on Zillow. And then after that, I have like my contact information again, and then a couple hashtags specific to that house. I don't really focus too much on the hashtags, because I really believe like if it's a good video, it'll get the reach you need it to get.
Especially since you're so consistent in the type of content that you're putting out. That was one of the first things that I noticed when I went to your Instagram and stalked it, which, by the way, guys, if you're listening and you want to go and check out his Instagram page, it's Isaac Lightborn.
You know what? It's okay. And I'll tell people, like, if you're not going to watch my content, don't follow my Instagram, because you're going to kill my views. And Instagram's going to think like, oh, realtors should be following Isaac, you know, like, so if you're just going to follow me and then not watch my content, don't do it. And that's a tip for you. You want your followers, you got to be very strategic about them. You can't just be following random people and hoping they follow you back. I'm big on organic reach. So I post the videos, I post the pictures I do. And if people follow me based off of that, it's because they want to see that content. They want to buy a home. And Instagram is going to know we got to send his content out to people that want to do the same thing. I'm not saying don't follow me. You can follow me.
No, but also don't follow. He's totally right. But at a minimum, you're going to want to go and look at his page. When I was stalking you, one of the things that I noticed was how consistent you are in the type of content that you're putting out, which is so awesome, because then Instagram, the algorithm, can understand who you are as a page and push your content to the appropriate people. Whereas, and this is something, you know, I've struggled with, honestly, is like, keeping true to a single target audience and creating content for that target, because then the algorithm will understand you and push you. But if you're constantly confusing the algorithm, it won't understand who you're trying to reach. Therefore, it won't help you reach those people.
Yeah. The whole target audience thing is hard. It's tempting to be like, well, I don't want to miss out on these people. I don't want to miss out on these people. But at the end of the day, my stories are very important too. I put my personality on my stories, right? Like, it's not fake or anything like that, because I want to attract clients that like my personality, feel comfortable with me, and I'm going to feel comfortable with. And stories are very important too. So you can't just go post home content and not let people know who you are as a person, because then they're going to say, oh, that's a cool home. Let me ask this other realtor that I have a connection with about it. But if you're posting stories, they're like, oh yeah, Isaac has a cat and Isaac likes to go to the gun range and, oh, I like to do that too and this and that. And then they'll feel a little bit more comfortable reaching out to you and actually texting you the word home or whatever it is. It doesn't have to be home.
And that was one of my next questions is, so in your captions, you have a very clear call to action up front, DM the word home or text your phone number to get started. Is that, do you think, where the bulk of your conversions happen? Or are you doing anything else to convert all of these views and likes that you're getting into actual clients?
That's a great question. So my stories is where I convert people. I convert people because I show them my personality. And okay, let me backtrack. People will text me off of a home that I post. The home I just showed right before this podcast, they texted me the word home and they were like, can we see it tomorrow? I gave them some value. I made a good impression on them. I'm going to show them some homes and create a list for them of new construction a little bit later today. And so people do text me off of that. But at the same time, you can't just rely on people texting you. So what I'll do is I'll go on my story and I'll give like testimonials like, hey guys, I'm negotiating this offer. I'm showing this home. And then what's really important is putting up polls. Is this home worth this price? Yes, no. Would you buy a home in this neighborhood? Yes, no. Ooh, would you buy a home with this many inspection repairs? And then I'll show them the repairs on the inspection report. And whoever answers my polls, great, they're making an interaction with me. But I take it a step further and I text all of them. And I'm like, hey, honestly, I wouldn't buy this house with this many repairs either. Copy, paste. I send it to 70 people and I just flood my DMs. But I'm not cold DMing them. I'm replying to them and interacting with them. And I try to make a conversation. If there's a conversation there, cool. If they reply and then I'll reply, you know, have a normal conversation, cool. It might turn into something. If not, it's whatever. I still interacted with them. But the way I try to go fishing is on my stories, my Instagram stories.
Are you in Tom Ferry coaching?
I just got out of Tom Ferry coaching.
Okay. But
it's a great program. I was just asking. It's a great program.
No, for sure, dude. The reason why I was asking is because you know a lot. There's a lot, and I freaking interview people all the time. So I can usually tell right away if someone has a lot of strategy and a lot of purposefulness in their activities as opposed to, oh, this is working, but I don't really know why or the actual strategy behind it. And you're very strategic and what you're doing. And so I'm like, you're 22 years old and you're killing it. Who, you know, what have you done in regard to your own development to expedite that journey?
I won't give myself all the credit, right? I'm just a hard worker and I'm consistent. I'm really not the smartest person. Like I dropped out of college for computer science because it was too hard. I'm just a hard worker, but I am pretty strategic. However, I need to give credit to my previous coach with Tom Ferry. His name was Will Draper. It's Will Draper on Instagram, I believe. He's a great coach. And he, for like the year and something months that I coached with him, we just targeted social media. So we would meet all the time. We'd look at my insights and we'd determine like, what are my views doing? What do I got to do? What should I try? I mean, he's the one who told me the polls on my stories. And it's something so simple that you would think like everybody would know, but until you try it, you're like, oh my gosh, this whole fishing thing works. So it's Will Draper. I got to give a lot of credit to him.
Hilarious that I am interviewing him tomorrow.
No way.
I literally just pulled him. I was like, dude, that name is so familiar. And I like pulled up my calendar as you were explaining. And I'm like, yep, he's on the calendar for tomorrow. But I don't know exactly when it'll come out because normally we try to space out anything that's social media focused. So if he gets on and talks social media, it'll probably be a while. But that's a small world.
He's going to talk social media. And he has his own coaching program now. And it's pretty affordable. I haven't joined it yet. I'm taking a little break from coaching just because I want to get the need from it. But yeah, he's great at social media.
That's awesome. Okay. And listeners, I think you probably noticed Isaac dropped a little hint, but he did provide a tool for our toolbox. So make sure you go to realestaterockstarsnetwork.com and get your free tool from Isaac, which it's titled How to Go Viral as a Realtor. Is there anything I just asked a bunch of questions that are applicable to this, but is there anything in your tool that you think would be great to talk about right now, Isaac?
Yeah, so I kind of talked about it a little bit, but I wanna let you know that if you're consistent on Instagram, you will go viral and you will get leads. There's a gentleman in my market, his name's Ricardo, and he told me he's gonna post every single day a video on Instagram until he goes viral. He went viral in less than 45 days, but he did a quality video. So what he did, and this is what I do, I get my iPhone, probably like iPhone 13 and higher. I put it in 4K, 60 FPS, top right corner, vertical. I have it on my DJI gimbal. I record so much that I always have the magnet for my DJI gimbal on me. And then I walk through the house, boom, 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 boom. And I throw it in CapCut. I do the whole speed thing. CapCut's amazing. You got to pay for it, but it's amazing. And I do the voiceover and I turn on auto captions. So it hears what I say and then it turns them into captions. I choose the font. I choose the color. I put those auto captions on there. And with the video being in 4K, with you having the gimbal and it being steady and having auto captions on there, everybody thinks like you're a professional. I was showing a house to my client the other day and I was like, I need to do a video on this home. I'm sorry. And they're like, go for it. And I got my phone and they were like, where's your camera? And I was like, oh, this is my camera. And they were like, that's the one you do videos with? Like you would never think it's all that you need. So 4K, CapCut, that's what you need.
Dude, I hear people all the time talk about CapCut and how great it is. And I've had like a social media manager for a while for like Five Pillars Nation, my community's page. And sometimes he would do stuff for me, but this time I was like, you know what? I'm just going to play. Everyone says CapCut's easy. Let's play around with it. I'm such a boomer, by the way. I'm 33 years old. I'm actually a millennial, but like straight boomer when it comes to that stuff. But it was really easy. And I think that it is an amazing tool. So yeah, all that to say, the way you just laid it out is really simple and anyone can do it. Even the boomers out there, guys.
Everybody. As long as you're consistent. That's the thing. Like there's people that could do good things and then they're not consistent. You know, like you got to treat Instagram or YouTube or door knocking or whatever it is like it's a listing appointment. You have to show up every single time that it's an appointment for you, which for me is on Monday.
Okay, you said Monday is your social media day. What does the rest of the schedule in the week look like for you?
Okay, so I try to follow my time blocks. It's a little hard. Like right now, I'm in a time block and I'm doing a podcast. But Tuesday mornings are for cold lead phone calls. After that, home showings. Wednesday mornings are for warm lead phone calls. After that, home showings. All of Thursday is for SOI lunches. I'm big on referrals. I'm trying to get more referrals. So I have Sphere of Influence lunches. And it's not just with people that could buy a house. It's with like my realtor friends, my mortgage partners. I want those people that I truly appreciate to know that I do appreciate them and I enjoy spending time with them. So on Thursdays, I dedicate it to that. On all the Fridays for home showings, Saturdays for home showings, Sundays, I try to take it off. I never take it off. It typically ends up being home showings. I'm showing a lot of homes on Sunday, this Sunday, to a gentleman that he found me on YouTube. And, you know, I think his sole purpose for using me, of course, I'm knowledgeable, but he just like really likes me as an individual, which is cool about social media because they get to know you. And I really like him. Like, I'm so excited to meet him. He's such a cool guy. But yeah, that's what my time block looks like.
So you are showing homes all the time. Who is writing your offers for you?
Oh, so I don't write any offers. I don't write any amendments. I don't do any paperwork because I have a transaction coordinator. She's amazing. Her name's Ariel. I would die without her. And she does all of the paperwork for me. I pay her per transaction. And I would say that I pay her above what the average TC gets paid for. But I mean, she's so valuable to me. Like she writes all my offers. Whenever I'm submitting an offer, I put my client and my TC in a group text and I say, hey, Ariel, meet our new client. They would like to submit an offer. Here's the house. Here's the price, the earnest money, the option period. I list out the terms. I already taught her. I gave her a system of operations in a Google Doc that lists exactly how to do everything. And she knows exactly how to write the offer. She sends it out. She sends it to the listing agent. Then she sends a text to the listing agent saying that we sent an offer. Here's the most important thing. Here's the price. So, yeah.
Okay. What other leverage do you have in place?
I don't have any other leverage in place. I do my own social media. I show my own homes. I do my own buyer consults. My buyer consults are the most important thing. So a big way that I convert people is I let them know that I'm big on education. So whenever I get somebody that comes to me, I'm like, hey, you know what? A lot of my home buyers, they appreciate when I sit down with them, I educate them, and I update them on what's happening in the El Paso market, new versus used homes, how to set their timeline. And in all honesty, Mr. Buyer, that takes me about an hour and a half to 2 hours, but it's going to save us hours on the back end. And I strongly recommend we do it. Would you like to sit down and get educated with me in person or virtually? And once I sit down with them for 2 hours and educate them on what no other realtor has told them about, because every other realtor is like, are you pre-approved? Like, that's it. Like, that's my client.
Dude, we'll have to have you back sometime to just go through the buyer consult. Like, that's it. We'll get you on and we'll role play. I'll be the buyer and you take us through what that process looks like. Because I do think that one of the things that helps agents a lot is just being able to hear someone else say the words to clients and absorb from that interaction. So listeners, if you would like that, if you want us to have Isaac back on to do the buyer consult so you can listen, let me know at the Shelby Show on Instagram. Just shoot me a DM and then we can set that up and make that happen. But okay, Isaac, you're 22 years old and you started when you were 19. What challenges have you faced because of that, if any?
I didn't face any challenges because it's all a mindset thing. If you know your stuff, then they don't care about your age. As a matter of fact, it's to your advantage. Because you get a lot of people that think you're cute. You remind them of their son, of their daughter. And you might know just as much as some other experienced agent, but they're like, you know what? I want to give you a chance. You remind me of my daughter. And they'll use you. It's all a mindset thing when you're young.
If you could talk to a 19-year-old out there who is struggling with getting the mindset, what tips do you have for them to overcome what they mentally might think is something that's holding them back?
Oh man, that's such a hard one. That is such a hard one. But you have to build the knowledge. And when you have the knowledge, you're confident. And when you're confident, you're not thinking about how young you are and is this person going to trust you or not? So if you're knowledgeable, that's all that matters.
Okay, Isaac, what does the future hold for you?
The future holds for me, I don't know. I don't know. This year, I want to close, I want to help 80 families. After that, I don't know what it's going to be like. I don't know if I'll have a team or what. I would like to imagine that I will have a team, but sitting from where I am right now, I just can't imagine managing agents and being responsible for them. My main goal is to buy a bunch of real estate and quit being a realtor. I love helping families, but I work 24/7. So I make a bunch of money and I buy a bunch of houses. I only have one house right now, but you got to say what's going to happen and it will happen. So
that's right. Speak it into the universe. And you and I, we can talk about this afterwards about real estate investing. I have a lot of advice I'd love to share with you. But real quick, before we head to the wrap up, I have a quick story for listeners. So Isaac, as I was stalking him pre-show, I was like, no way. I think this is the same kid, is what I said in my head, who was on stage at the Tom Perry Summit this past year, 2023. And he said that such a savage, amazing line. And so Isaac, I confirmed with you beforehand, but can you share that story of where I first saw you at Tom Perry and what happened on the stage?
I think they asked me a question like, what would you say for agents that have been in the business for a long time? And I like making people laugh. So I said something a little bold and I was like, well, stop walking and start running because we're coming after you.
Dude, the whole audience was like, what? It was so unexpected, like, and savage. It was awesome.
Then my friends told me, like, in the audience, like, there were some people that were like, he needs to leave.
Oh, haters, that's fine. Yeah, but, and for listeners, just for your understanding, I think that it was a panel, right, Isaac? It was like four of the babies, the baby face agents
funny
who were
thing
doing really well.
Is that it was called Aspiring Rockstars or Something Rockstars. So, Real Estate Rockstar Podcast.
Perfect. Just led you to this moment. Okay, yeah. Let's head to wrap up. So, Isaac, what is your favorite app or tool besides CapCut? Because we've already talked about that.
My favorite app or tool is going to be Canva. No. My favorite app is Box Brownie. That's how I get all of my YouTube thumbnails. And Fiverr, I do a lot of my lead magnet PDFs through Fiverr. But Box Brownie is super easy to use. You throw a picture in there, you pay like $8 to turn it into dusk, and then boom.
To turn it into what? Wait, what is Box Brownie? Don't hold out on me.
What? Okay, so Box Brownie will edit a picture for you. You take a horizontal picture of a house for a YouTube thumbnail, and the light, the shadow's bad, it's all dusty, the sun's hitting it. You throw it into Box Brownie and you pay them to make it into dusk, like if it was the sun setting, and they'll do like a really nice sky, they'll take the shadow out of the house, and then you throw that into Canva and you put El Paso Home Tour, and that's your YouTube thumbnail.
Okay, thank you very much. I'd never heard of Box Brownie. Literally, I thought it was like a client giant type of thing where you're sending brownies to all of your clients, but apparently not.
Will Draper taught me about Box Brownie.
Of course he did. I'm going to tell him he can't use that on our show when I interview him. But okay, Isaac, what events are you going to in the next 12 months?
What events? I don't have any events planned to go to in the next 12 months. My brokerage is hosting a ninja selling event. I'm huge on ninja selling because of like the whole like referral thing. So I'm going to go to that. But it's going to be here in El Paso. And then I'll probably go to the Tom Ferry conference. Besides that, I don't really go to much conferences. I know I should go to more, but...
Okay, so next year, you're going to come to the Real Estate Rockstars Mastermind, and it's in March in 2025 in Austin. It's great. I'll send you the details. But definitely come to that one, and I'll see you at Tom Ferry Summit this year in August. Okay, next question is, how can we, myself and listeners, help you in your business?
How can you help me in my business? Honestly, I don't know. Just whenever you think of my name, think of good thoughts. That way the world and God brings good things to me.
And send him all of the referrals for El Paso. I got you.
Oh yeah.
I got
please,
you on how
please
the
do that too.
Where can people reach out to you and find more about you?
On my Instagram. And if you really, really, really need help, my number's on my Instagram. So you can call me, text me. I'll answer.
Call me, beat me if you want to reach me. You probably won't get that because you are much younger than me. That's Kim Possible. Okay. Moving right along.
I watched Kim Possible. I did watch Kim. I love Kim Possible.
Yeah. You're like, oh, it was that really old show back in the 90s. My millennials will get that. But anyway, that is all we have for today. Isaac, thank you so much for coming on the show. It has been a blast. And listeners, you know the drill. If you want to hang out with me and Aaron, we are The Shelby Show and Aaron and Muchastegi on the gram. We love to hear from you. And otherwise, that is all we have for today. Isaac, thank you so much for coming on the show. And Real Estate Rockstars, thanks for listening.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.